Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Ball's at their own 28. Quick snap for Aller, looking left. Can't get it out. Now pressure coming. Aller throws. Loose ball. Yes! Intercepted. Christian Gray picks it off at the 42-yard line. Notre Dame will get the ball back with 33 seconds left in the game. What a big-time pick from Christian Gray.
Notre Dame radio, you probably could have guessed that. Final call last night. Notre Dame moves on to the national championship game. First time they're playing for a natty, Pearl, in 12 years. And it's funny because, listen, congrats to Notre Dame. Felt like the season was lost after they lost to Northern Illinois. Rebounded, longest winning streak in the country. And they've pushed every right button here. Has it always looked pretty? Is it this gorgeous offense? No, far from it. But are they making the plays when they need to? Are they making fewer mistakes? All of that is just been in the plus column.
They made a couple big mistakes yesterday, but
yeah, no, Riley Leonard definitely threw a pick. I get understand it, but when they needed it,
two bad picks.
Well, but Drew Aller threw a couple picks, and some of them got called back and negated off a penalty. Some that I did not agree with, including one pass interference in the end zone. We've argued about that this morning. But what I'm trying to get at here is it hasn't been pretty. There's really not one thing you can point to with this Notre Dame team, unless you just want to say the defense as a whole, which they're clearly led by. But I just think it's finding where you're winning on the margins, because this is not an all-time great team. And yet here they are with a chance to win a national title. I think it's beyond impressive. And, you know, we talked last time and last week about whether Notre Dame has become likable. I think that if they play Ohio State in the national championship game or Texas, I think a lot of people are going to be pulling for Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, I agree with that totally. I think we can't really write the story of this team yet. I think we have to wait to see how they do in the final.
Oh, I disagree. It's already been a great season for them. It's Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They're a storied program, but they're not a national championship contender year after year.
Well, I think if they lose 42-7 to Ohio State, we'll talk about them one way. If they win the national title, we'll talk about them a different way. I think there's a major couple chapters left. I really do, and I'm not even just saying this to be contrarian. I really believe, like, we really don't know the legacy of this team, because it's all going to depend. And, like, listen, if you believe in them being so tough and resilient and finding ways to win, then you should have faith in them to win the national title. But I don't think people know. I think people looked at the way the game went last night. It's like, wow, this is the way the 12-team playoff. Like, this ball is bouncing in funny ways. Like, I really don't think we know how good Notre Dame is. They might be better than you're saying. They might not just be winning the margins. They might be a legit great team. That's what I'm saying. Like, I really don't think we know.
I guess I have a hard time thinking they would get blown out. And I'm doing a little, like, transitive property or whatever that's called, where you had Ohio State. That was not a blowout against Penn State earlier this year in Happy Valley. And then if you want to go, like, a little ipso facto, well, then Notre Dame, you know, just beat Penn State. So that should be a close game between Ohio State and Notre Dame
if
that's the national championship.
But this is, we just seen a different Ohio State. You've been pointing out, like, I mean, did you see Ohio State blowing out a really good Tennessee team?
I did not, but let's see what Ohio State looks like tonight. I'm curious to see if they can keep this going for three games in a row and then four games in a row.
I mean, they have Ohio State has all the ingredients to blow out a team like Notre Dame on paper. They have a veteran defense that should be able to handle Riley Leonard's running, no problem. Like, Notre Dame does not have a varied offense. Jeremiah Love's hurt. Their left tackle now might be hurt. They have defensive line injuries. Like, all on paper, you have to admit, this doesn't look good for Notre Dame. And that sounds like I'm hating on Notre Dame, but I think the story of this team is whatever you look at on paper does not matter. The fact that they can't throw the ball, the fact that that they got pushed around like crazy by Penn State's line last night.
So many injuries.
It looked like a high school team playing a JV team in the first half. When Penn State would run the ball, they were road grading against Notre Dame. They weren't nearly as big. The announcers kept saying, like, wow, look at that size differential when you put the two. And none of it matters because they're finding these ways to win. But, you know, I do think the story is not written yet.
on the Penn State side of it, we put a poll up at Maggie and Pearl. Did Penn State blow it last night? And I thought, yes, the crowd is with me. 64%, yes, they should have won. 36%, no, Notre Dame took the game. I feel like this just added to the laundry list of James Franklin, you know, again, losing against a top five team, losing against top 10 team, you know, these just consistent failures when he's playing in the biggest games or coaching in the biggest games. And a lot of these losses for James Franklin have been one score games, just like last night. Field goal decides it. It's not like he's getting blown out in a lot of these losses. So you almost feel like it's more of a choke job because you're right there. That's what makes this even more infuriating. If you just don't even belong on the same field as one of these teams, okay, well, then you don't have players who are good enough. That's obvious. But if you are getting beat in one score games consistently by top opponents, how do you not point to the coaching? You clearly have the players who can hang.
But you don't have the quarterback.
But neither does Notre Dame. Like, I don't think Riley Leonard is all of a sudden, he's not this, you know, we're not talking about him as a top pick. Yeah, yeah, even though he's a backup in the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, what actual mistakes? I would say in the first half, Penn State clearly outcoached Notre Dame. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They dominated everything. I don't know if you, like, what's the actual coaching move that Penn State did wrong?
Well, I think you had to anticipate that you can't just abandon. I know the wide receivers are not good, but how do you expect to win a game of this caliber if you can't complete a pass to any of your wide receivers? And I mean, that's on the coach to try to scheme up some easy ones.
You saw, he had an easy one at the goal line, and Drew Aller missed it. You know, he had a guy standing there wide open. Colton Nicky was on fire last night. Every little thing he was doing in the first half was great. Aller just couldn't execute. I think, I don't know if that was, I thought the defensive game plan was fantastic in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they got a little bit tired. And I think Abdul Carter probably wore down a little bit. He did have some big plays in the second half.
Guy's playing with one arm healthy.
But honestly, I think Drew Aller kind of blew that game. And I think Drew Aller would probably tell you that today.
So we did have a little bit, just on a side note, Manny getting in my ear telling me that Abdul Carter has declared for the draft. Okay. We knew that was going to happen. He's probably going to be a top five pick. Let's hear from Drew Aller. Can I hear Cup 15, Manny? He says he didn't play well enough to win.
We didn't win the game, so it wasn't good enough. I mean, I think it's plain and simple. So I'll learn from it. Just do everything in my power to get better from it and just grow from it.
And that's the right attitude. And he'll be back at Penn State this year, and we'll see him continue to grow. But this is where Aller lost me a little bit. The interception he throws at the end of the game, and that was not the only bad play, but this is the one that's going to stand out because it was a bad throw, bad interception. It set up the game-winning field goal for Notre Dame. Here's Aller giving the details of that throw and what he was trying to accomplish.
I was going through my progression, got to the backside, and honestly, I was just trying to dirt it at his feet, but I mean, it just... I should have just thrown it away when I felt the first two progressions not open just because of the situation we were in. But I was just trying to dirt it at Amari's feet. So, but just didn't execute what I was trying to do.
Yeah, Amari Evans, I didn't see it that way. It looked like probably if he kind of threw this thing blind and just threw it up and in the middle of the field and late and bad things are going to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, we see quarterbacks under pressure make mistakes like that. It was an incredible interception. This reminded me so much of Georgia against Notre Dame at the end of the half. Like that was probably a time to be conservative. Mm. And Gunnar Stockton fumbled the ball and gave Notre Dame that key lead. Then Notre Dame could run the ball on them. So I think one thing, Notre Dame does not make little panic moves like that. I honestly was watching the game and I was like, you know what? Penn State should probably be really conservative on this drive. Did anyone else have a vibe like, oh man, he's been looking really shaky this half. Like maybe now's not the time. Maybe just push it to overtime.
Well, it was funny because Greg McElroy was on the call last night. And after Aller threw the interception that ended up getting called back because of a defensive pass interference, he said, I wonder if James Franklin trusts his quarterback here. Maybe he should just hand the ball off. They do hand the ball off. And I think it was Singleton, must have been, and scores a touchdown on the next drive. Then McElroy said the opposite of that when they get the ball back right before the pick, they have a minute left. He goes, you got to be aggressive here. I'm like, do you have to be?
I think he had 47. Did you have a minute?
Even less than a minute. I was like, do you have to be aggressive?
Nah, it turns out no.
Yeah. Oh, EJ, you wanted to talk about that specific sequence.
Yeah, because I think we were talking about whether or not Franklin deserves any blame. That was a question I have for you guys. Was that the decision after you get that first down to still push the ball down the field, considering Aller was not seeing the field well at all and was inaccurate?
Well, I got
it off on first down, got a first down. Maybe you could have called timeout. I'm sorry.
I kind of like when coaches are aggressive in general. Like, as a rule, I think both Maggie and I, and you too, EJ, we reward aggressive coaches. So imagine if they had just run in a line and then we might have said, oh, man, Penn State, why are you being
loser energy?
Yeah, are you turtling up here? Why are you being a wimp? So I could see it both ways. I have trouble killing James Franklin for trying to move the ball. I mean, he wasn't that far away from field goal.
Yeah, the only thing is I'm a little more in favor of aggressive stuff on the NFL level.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, no. Well, obviously, we know that now, but yeah.
855-212-4227. You're welcome to go vote on our poll. Yeah. Did Penn State choke last night?
I have a few pivot points, and I think you guys will agree with me. I wrote these down last night. The game was decided on, I have five things.
You want to wait and we'll do this with Nick Costos when we come back?
Oh, okay, sure.
I'm assuming you want to get Nick's thoughts on this too.
Oh, no, I don't really like Nick.
I don't think he likes you either. Makes for good radio.
Okay, I'll share him with you guys during the break.
Okay, and then we'll share him with the audience when we come out of the break. We're not gatekeepers here. We tell you everything we're thinking. Maybe a little too much. 855-212-4227. All right, Perloff has his, how many points? Five? Four?
I got five.
Perloff's top five reasons why...
No, top five plays.
Top five plays from last night. We'll get to that in just a moment. And Nick Costos from You Better You Bet will join us to help us win some money.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. It's... an unusual situation, Maggie. You and I both have teams to root for that are alive in the playoffs. We have a lot on our minds. Mm. Our next guest, of course, is a New York Giants fan, so he'll be back in the picture in April when it comes to fandom, but he is obviously has a lot of other things going on.
I mean, good morning, Nick. I would have done a slightly different intro for you. if Nick Costos, the host of You Better You Bet, I would not have led with the Giants there. I probably would have said, good morning, Nick.
Well, no. You know, it's just like...
how are you?
Yeah, yeah. He should have good advice, because like, we're thinking about the Eagles and the Bills. Like, he can't relate to that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I love my guy Perloff, so that's totally okay. And look, like I always say, Perloff, the Eagles could win the next two Super Bowls in a row and would still be trailing my New York Football Giants as far as Lombardi's are concerned. So I'm good, buddy. I'm way good here.
Yeah, team total. Nick Costos for You Better You Bet joins us every Friday. Nick, okay. That was last segment.
That's okay. I'm not a fan of yours either. So yeah. It's okay.
Mutual.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love sitting in the middle of this. So let's get to tonight's game, Nick, though, before the weekend with the NFL stuff. So I feel like nobody's giving Texas a chance, which is exactly why I'm taking the points tonight. Now, to be fair, I've been on an all-time skid. I cannot buy a bet right now. I'm 0 for my last six. It is just dark times. Am I going to get it right tonight?
So what number are you betting?
Six.
You have Texas what?
Plus
yeah,
six.
I think like you could win that bet. And I would say for people that like Texas, definitely bet plus six. This could move off of six tonight and go down to 5.5 before kickoff. It's my sense that Texas is going to draw some action in the betting market just because the number is really big. Now, I do think Ohio State is extremely likely to win the game. But after what we've seen, and you know, we talked about this recently on the show when I was on with you guys, right? That now it's reached a point, given what Ohio State's done since the Michigan loss in the regular season finale, you know, destroying Tennessee and then wiping, you know, the consensus number one team in the country, Oregon, off the face of the planet in the Rose Bowl, that you're paying a tax now if you want to bet on Ohio State. Mm. So the number is definitely inflated on Ohio State. Now, again, I think Ohio State's going to win. I think Ohio State will wreck Notre Dame if and when they play in the national championship. But there's no question that this line is inflated because of Ohio State's recent string of results. So, Maggie, you could very well be right on that with Texas plus the six. I will say, I am not betting the game tonight. I have a ton of futures on Ohio State to win the title. And I have an Ohio State over Notre Dame exacta that I'm rolling into.
Nice.
So I will be the world's biggest Ohio State fan tonight against against Texas.
Nick, going back to last night, and this isn't a straight betting question, but you have four coaches in the Final Four: James Franklin, Marcus Freeman, Sark, and Ryan Day. Which is there a coaching advantage with one of these teams, in your opinion?
I honestly, this is going to sound a little nuts. Isn't Freeman the best coach of the four now?
It doesn't sound nuts to me.
It's not. It's not. Well, it's definitely not James Franklin. And to be fair to James Franklin, like, James Franklin did not lose that game last night. Like, yeah. Drew Aller lost the game last night. And people were tweeting me like, how could you say that about the young man? Like, he's filthy rich, Drew Aller. Like, this is not like 15 years ago, like college kids. Like, he's rich. Like, it's okay. He lost the game. Aller lost the game, not James Franklin. Yeah, it's definitely not James Franklin. I don't really know. I guess Notre Dame could win the title, and you could say it's Ryan Day. I definitely don't think it's Sark, and I think Ohio State will win tonight. What Marcus Freeman has done since the Northern Illinois loss, and I haven't always been the biggest Marcus Freeman fan. Also, you know, he's too good looking.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like Fight Club. I want to he'd kill me if I punched him in the face, but I almost want to, like, destroy something beautiful. Like, I would not bring my wife around Marcus Freeman.
He's
but,
not Jared Leto, Nick. How dare you?
Yes, he is.
I mean, I mean, he's like, my wife walks by the TV. She's like, who's that? And I'm just like, you know what? Let's change the channel. Put Baby First on for my daughter. What he did in the Sugar Bowl, outcoached Kirby Smart. Like, this game, we all watched. I had money on Notre Dame last night. I thought the bet was dead at halftime. Dead. And they come out of the second half, and they look like a totally different team. Like, that's coaching. You know, the game management was spectacular. You know, down the stretch of the game, the way he managed the clock, managed the timeouts. And look, you could give credit to his assistants. I'm not trying to say it's all Marcus Freeman, but I thought, you know, running the ball with Riley Leonard, managing the clock the way they did, setting Jeter up for the game-winning field goal, and there was no question, I am wearing a Yankees hat, that Jeter was making the kick in the big spot. I think it's Marcus Freeman.
I was thinking about the... Yeah, we were talking about how cornerbacks have to be good looking for people to follow them. Maybe that applies to coaches, but I don't know.
Is that why Carson Beck hasn't done good?
That's actually what this conversation was based on, Carson Beck.
I bet.
Nick Costos is joining us from You Better, You Bet. Okay, let's turn to Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. To me, because I don't bet on my own team, the Buffalo Bills, I don't bet any part of their games. I'm already too emotionally invested. I don't need my money to be invested as well. I think this is the only spread I would bet, though, if I were going to bet and feel comfortable. I think Denver plus the 8.5 is the bet. The rest of these spreads, though, Nick, I'm going to be honest, even the Zay Flowers injury for Baltimore still doesn't make me really want to take the Steelers and the points. I'm curious, do you have any point spreads that you love this weekend?
That I love? I would say yes. And look, you know, I always say this because I do all my radio interviews are all late in the week, which you understand, right? Because we're closer to the games. But, you know, when the point spreads come out on Sunday and Buffalo is 7.5 and Baltimore is 8.5, and I fire in as many teasers as I can on those two teams down to less than 3. And, like, those point spreads don't exist later in the week. So as it sits right now, I can say that I like a couple point spreads coming up this week. I don't know if I absolutely love anything. When you get to the playoffs, I mean, this stuff gets really hard. And, you know, when we get to the real high leverage games, I will have, like, significant financial opinions on those games. Like Kansas City, I will be betting the Chiefs straight through the Super Bowl. I've got it already in, like, exactas, et cetera, over all the big teams in the NFC. But I'll give you, why don't we hit the two games tomorrow and then we can get to some others if you'd like.
Yeah.
So I have bet both games tomorrow. One of the bets I made makes me want to chug bleach. The other, I feel like I'm going to win. So I like both underdogs tomorrow. Now, the number really matters here. So Chargers, Texans, the point spread, and I always say this with you guys, right? Someone out there listening or watching could say, Nick, you're an idiot, probably. Maybe you like the Chargers in the game. Totally normal opinion to have. Please, if you like the Chargers, lay 2.5, not 3. And if you like Houston, bet plus 3, not plus 2.5. And the same thing with Steelers, Ravens, where if you like Pittsburgh, bet plus 10. If you like Baltimore, lay 9.5. And I'm going to bet both underdogs at those key numbers. Texans plus 3, Steelers plus 10. You know, the Texans still have, and I don't think it's going to come to fruition, but the Texans still have, like, the theoretical upside of a team that could potentially make a run. Like, their defense is sick. Like, the defense is actually, like, Super Bowl quality, just that the offense has been miserable and Bobby Slowick's a terrible coordinator. But we've seen C.J. Stroud be awesome in playoff games. Like, it happened last calendar year, like 365 days ago, basically, this happened. And I do think the Chargers should be favored in the game, guys, is where I kind of draw the line a little bit. Where, okay, Chargers win by three, no harm, no foul, I push my bet. Like, the bet never happens. I don't think the Chargers win by more than three. I like the Texans. That's the one that makes me want to chug bleach when the game starts. Steelers plus 10. I feel like I win that bet when I make the bet, Perloff.
Oh, I was going to ask about Sunday's game. Green Bay and Philadelphia, the quarterback injuries. How are you approaching that situation?
I'm going to bet Green Bay.
You're not worried about Love's elbow, hand situation?
Yeah. No, definitely. Like, I mean, it could get hit the wrong way. Like, things could happen, of course. Practiced in full yesterday. After a limited practice on Wednesday, my sense is it will be a full practice today for Jordan Love. The point spread's a little nutty here. So, you know, look ahead markets are not the be all end all of, you know, like, you should never look at a look ahead and say, well, it was this and now it's this, so I'm going to do this. But I think it's more of like a conversation piece, right? So before week 18, the Eagles were a 3-point favorite against Green Bay. And it was juiced way towards the Packers so that this could maybe come off of, like, maybe it would just be Eagles favored by less than three. I make my point spreads in the NFL. I made the game like 2 weeks ago, Eagles minus 2.5, right? So less than three, now it's five. Now, but you can understand Green Bay loses last week to Chicago. Love's got the elbow injury, couldn't feel his throwing hand last week. Christian Watson torn ACL. Eagles sit like all their good players last week against the Giants and still win. Hat tip to you, Perloff. And you can understand, like, and you can understand how we get to this point, right? Where not only are we through three, but we're through 3.5, we're through four, we're through 4.5. Like, you could maybe make a case for it. I would push back and say, I think we've actually gone a little bit too far here, where the Packers' upside in this game, and I don't think it's the most likely outcome, the Packers' upside is to win the game, is to just win. And I think Jordan Love has proven to be a big game quarterback, like destroyed the Cowboys last year on wild card weekend and then stood toe to toe with the Niners. The Packers almost won that game in the divisional round last year at San Francisco. And Jalen Hurts, by the way, he's going to play in the game. He has still not cleared concussion protocol, right? Now he's practiced in full. He's going to play. But I mean, he got concussed almost 3 weeks ago and has yet to clear protocol. I find it hard to believe he's just stepping on the field and is throwing darts immediately. So I'll take the points with the Green Bay Packers. I'm not saying Green Bay is going to win. I wouldn't be shocked if they did, but I'll bet Green Bay plus the points on Sunday.
Nick Costos is the host of You Better You Bet. Got him here for another minute or two to go through some of the weekend's games. So Nick, I have a longstanding, like, my own Maggie's, like, 10 commandments of betting. And one of them is,
I'd love to hear them.
Oh yeah. I got them written down in stone. One of them is I never bet rookie quarterbacks on the road. It's just a stay away.
You literally just said, like your favorite point spread of the week was Bo Nix at the Bills.
No, but not to win, just to cover.
Okay. Right. To cover.
I'm looking at a smaller spread, which is the Washington Commanders going to Tampa Bay. That's 3 points. So obviously, if you're picking, you know, the Commanders there, you might as well take the money line. Like, you think they're going to win the game, right? If you're doing 3 points, or I guess that's the way I look at it. So rookie quarterbacks on the road, I never do it. Should I break my rule for Jaden Daniels and this Commanders team?
Well, can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Which quarterback do you think's better in the game on Sunday night? Jaden Daniels or Baker Mayfield?
I think Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I think Baker's probably better. It's a bigger sample size.
I think Jaden's better.
Okay.
And I mean that, like, in sincerity. That is a compliment to Jaden Daniels, not an insult to Baker Mayfield. Baker has been magnificent, not just this year. They went to the divisional round and stood toe-to-toe with the Lions last year in Detroit on divisional weekend. So Baker's great. This is not an anti-Baker thing. I think Jaden Daniels' upside is absolutely through the roof. Oh, like, his upside, like, I think the Commanders' upside is to, like, play on Championship Sunday. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I think it's within the range of outcomes that is possible because Daniels is so singularly great.
Yeah.
So, again, this is going to be, I hate to give answers like this, but, you know, I'm on 6 days a week, but I'm, you know, on Monday talking about the games. This point spread was 3.5 on Monday. I bet Commanders 3.5. Would I still bet 3 with Washington? Maggie, I actually agree with you. I think if you like the Commanders, play them to win. I definitely think Washington can win the game. I will also add, that if anyone out there likes Washington in the game, I would consider playing it with the over. I don't know if Washington wins like a 20-17 game. Mm. Although I don't know if people realize this because he's barely played since being traded from New Orleans. We will get hashtag renewing pleasantries, one of the great NFL rivalries of recent memory, Marshawn Lattimore against Mike Evans on Sunday night. And, you know, Mike Evans is going to the Hall of Fame on the I hated what they did at the end of the game. I thought it was a disgrace to football, what they did at the end of the game last week with Mike Evans. But Lattimore has won this head-to-head matchup more often than not. I do like Washington in the game, Maggie, so I am with you.
MVP, did you put in a bunch of MVP votes at a certain point of the season?
Yeah.
And you had Josh Allen?
Well, I have, I had Saquon Barkley at a huge price. I win if Josh Allen wins. It will not be like a massive win for me. I think Josh Allen is extremely likely to win MVP.
Yeah, my question is, like, how much pressure, this is, again, not a straight betting question, how much pressure do Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have to win right now? I feel like the top two MVP candidates, or two of the top three, like, this whole playoffs is about those two guys to me. And I'm curious, like, how they respond in this opening round.
Well, it's about them until they lose. Until they lose to the Chiefs, so and then it's about Mahomes again.
You don't think either guy is ready to take the next step?
So I don't know if, like, ready is the right word here, because, you know, I think there's, like, a lot of ways to look at this, right? And let's just use, like, an NBA analogy here, right? Charles Barkley. Say what you want. Like, this is not like a Karl Malone off thing, like off court here thing. Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, NBA superstars in the 90s that never won because Jordan was there.
Come on, man.
You're in the wrong era. Like, sorry, everybody. That might be how this turns out. Now, Peyton ended up getting Tom Brady a couple times. So, like, that did happen. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I mean, look, it's a betting thing, right? We can have a sports radio conversation. Can the Bills or the Ravens beat the Chiefs? Of course they can. Like, anything can happen. But when we're talking about betting, the question becomes, would you bet on Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen going to Arrowhead and slaying the dragon? Like, I wouldn't. I feel like the Bills had their shot. And Maggie, like, I know I'm not saying this to, like, to rub salt in the wound. Like, they had their shot in the 13 seconds game. I don't think it's going to happen. So they're under a tremendous amount of pressure. There's no question about it. It's part of what makes this so exciting and what's going to make the game so compelling. I think at the end of this, it's going to be about Patrick Mahomes again. And maybe that makes people vomit in their mouths. But I that's what I think is going to happen.
Well, Nick, you thought that Perloff was the only one who disliked you on this show. Well, now you can add me to the mix.
It could be cool if the Bills won. I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
I'm not even going to ask you for your upset pick because you already gave it to us. You got two upset picks in the first round. You've got Houston, and you also are picking. Are you picking the Steelers to upset the Ravens, or just you're taking the point?
So let me just look at something quickly here, because the only people that are wrong more often and get to keep their jobs than people that give sports betting picks for a living are weathermen. So let's see where we're at tomorrow. Okay, weather doesn't look like it's going to be terrible tomorrow night with the Ravens and the Steelers. So, if we get like a strange wind game in Baltimore, because I think the weather is going to be funky in like on the eastern part of the country this weekend. Maybe you get into an environment where, you know, the Steelers, and there's an argument to be made that Lamar kind of like shed that a little bit when they played a couple weeks ago and they destroyed the Steelers in that game. I think 10 points is too big of a spread in the game. When they played a couple weeks ago. So think about this, right? And there's a case to be made that it's right. I just disagree. So they play a couple weeks ago, the point spread's like 7, right? Okay, now the Steelers have lost every game since then, and the Ravens have destroyed everybody basically since then, right? Still, it was like 7, and Zay Flowers isn't playing, and now it's 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think bettors, and it doesn't mean that we collectively are going to be right. We can be wrong. I think that there will be a pushback against the idea that the point spread should be that big. And maybe, again, like, you're out there listening or watching saying, I've watched the Steelers play. They suck. Baltimore's going to win by 20. Like, you can be right. I'm going to take a shot, and I'll put my money that that's wrong, and I'll play the Steelers to keep the game closer than the betting market expects.
Nick, wishing you a great weekend, fun betting weekend tonight, of course. I know you're going to be sitting this one out with Ohio State and Texas.
I need Ohio State to win. Just like I have to have it. Need Ohio State to win tonight.
And I really need Texas to cover. So hopefully
great.
We both
Ohio State by 3.
Get what we want. Nick, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck in Perloff. You know, I wouldn't be da-da-da-da-da-da. Go, Pack, go.
Oh, get out of here, dude. Get out of here. Good luck with that number 3 pick in the draft.
You got Abdul Carter.
Yeah, about to say. Go, baby. Print up the jerseys after last night.
Looking pretty good. Yeah, Nick, thank you.
Bye.
Yes. So, How are you feeling about your Eagles? Do you think they're going to win?
No, I think this is a really tough game. I think they're going to see a lot of Josh Jacobs on Sunday. I'm pretty confident they're going to win, but I think you are not sold on the Packers after that Bears debacle last week. I think, as Nick said, like I'm nervous about Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs coming at us. I think it'd be a close game.
So I was like, this was one of the ones I felt pretty good about. I'm like, man, I'm going to lay the 4.5. I'm not going to feel bad about it, but I've been on such an awful losing skid and Nick just talked me out of it. So I think I'm probably going to go the other way here.
I think
with
it's
Houston.
5 now.
It
keeps on moving up and down because of the two quarterbacks. Like, that's the thing. Will Jalen Hurts run? Like, can you answer me that, Maggie?
How about speaking of point spreads, how about last night where...
Oh, that was wild.
That was crazy. Notre Dame went into that game as a 1.5-point favorite, and right before kickoff, it flipped to Penn State minus 2.5, right?
I saw minus 1. Did it get down to 2.5?
I thought it got to 2.5 at one point because of the Molly McGrath update that... Two things. One was the Jeremiah Love update that he was going to have to be going back and forth to the locker room to get treatment.
I don't even think
that happened. Yeah. And the second thing was the flu... There was an outbreak of the flu in the Notre Dame locker room, and it flipped the point spread.
And then I got to tell you, you had a total bet on that. I was watching the first quarter. I'm like, well, Penn State's going to run away with this game. It's going to be like 38-9. I mean, their offensive line is destroying Notre Dame. And then I didn't think it was going to get to 20 points, let alone 45.5. Did you honestly? I hate to say this, but you thought you were cashing that bet, I assume.
I was like, money in the bank. I spent it. That was a mistake. Spent it at halftime. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us. What else is going on
today? Guys, it was not a good night for those of us who think Drew Aller should enter this NFL draft and maybe go to the Giants at number 3.
Ball's at their own 28. Quick snap for Aller, looking left. Can't get it out. Now pressure coming. Aller throws. Loose ball. Yes! Intercepted. Christian Gray picks it off at the 42-yard line. Notre Dame will get the ball back with 33 seconds left in the game. What a big time pick from Christian Gray.
A great play from him. Bad decision by Aller on Notre Dame radio. The INT coming with 33 seconds left. It led to Mitch Jeter's 41-yard tie-breaking field goal, which led to a 27-24 Notre Dame win in this CFP semifinal at the Orange Bowl. Aller says he meant to throw that pass where nobody could catch it.
I should have just thrown it away when I felt the first two progressions not open just because of the situation we were in. But I was just trying to dirty that Amari's feet. But just didn't execute what I was trying to do.
Aller had two other picks wiped out by penalties last night. He also did not complete a pass to a wide receiver. Back to Gray for more on that.
Coach Mick has always told us, you know, challenge, challenge, challenge every time. And we just did our job, you know, and we just kept them to zero catches.
Notre Dame QB Riley Leonard threw for a score, ran for another to negate his two interceptions. His school now in the national title game for the first time in 12 years. Their last championship was 1988. Ohio State and Texas decide the other spot in the January 20th finale tonight in Dallas. Now, Georgia QB Carson Beck is doing the opposite of what some wanted Aller to do. Beck declared for the draft back in mid-December, but is now expected to enter the transfer portal instead with Miami as his most likely landing spot. Penn State defensive end Abdul Carter declaring for the draft this morning after that loss last night. Now, some break.
So sorry about that. Can I ask EJ one small question about the Miami quarterback thing?
Yeah.
Because what if somehow Quinn Ewers doesn't have like an all-time great game tonight and he decides he wants to go back to college? And would he be a thought for Miami?
I would prefer Ewers over Beck, but and more because of the injury. But it sounds like there's too many connections with this Beck thing. It sounds like they're far down the road on it.
Okay.
And we still have those whispers of Notre Dame getting a huge quarterback in this transfer portal.
Being Ewers,
and
right?
It has to be Ewers. He's the only one that makes sense.
Milrow hired an agent. He's going pro.
Right. So, like he's the only guy left. If that's true, that he's going to go there.
Also, look out for what I saw yesterday was once, definitely Beck, but maybe also Ewers as well. Once they transfer, look for receivers to start leaving too.
Right. Can I be honest? I like the backup quarterback who came in for Notre Dame last night, though. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, McDonough said that he was going to be in line to probably compete for the job next year.
What about
if
Ohio
Ewers comes in, he's not going to win that job, right?
What about Ohio State? I know they have the young guy there, but who replaces Will Howard? I was wondering, we were laughing, can Ewers go back to Ohio State? I mean, is that allowed?
Double back.
They have so many former five stars. They don't have somebody in that QB room that can play quarterback. I mean, at what point, what are they doing?
I know. But I don't believe in the high school five-star anymore. Like, I don't even care. I need the 20. Any 23-year-old, Riley Leonard feels like he's been in the NFL for 4 years. He's so old.
These five-stars are not really hitting the way they used to.
Yeah, because they're older quarterbacks. Yeah. I think age matters in that consideration.
Yeah.
You were about to do some breaking news, and I stepped all over it.
Just from the NFL, breaking news, I guess. The Jaguars, like usual, plus the Jets and Browns will host games in London next season.
That's what we're sending out to England. That cannot be good for relations between the United States and England.
Well, somehow Woody Johnson was the ambassador and we all survived. Yeah, that's really stretching the breaking news.
There's a graphic on this TV screen right now.
It did drop like 1 minute ago.
Yeah.
Air quotes news.
Sorry, Maggie.
Information. Breaking information.
It is news to my fiance when I told her that this was happening. She wrote in all caps, "Oh my God."
In a so good you way might go bad way.
I mean, that's the only reason why we went to the Mets game, and then it's what led to our engagement. So,
but the Mets are good, though.
They were not good when I
went there.
True.
They were terrible.
And they were terrible when I went there. The Phillies, I think, hit like 7 home runs, it felt like.
So would you go to London to see the Jets lose and get married? How would you double down on this?
Oh, the marriage is not, the wedding's not happening in London. That's a fact. So, no.
You would be disowned by multiple family members if you did that.
Yeah, that can't happen. For a lot of reasons, that can't happen.
Still be a fun vacation, though. Back to the scene.
That would be awesome. I mean, but then
really, you're going to jet this thing all over it? 15 for 32.
I mean, come on.
Like, you kick saving a beauty that the Mets made the NLCS. Like, the Jets going all the way over there to watch them, you are asking for trouble. 855-212-4227. Thank you, Bogues. Coming up, how have we not gotten this far and not gotten to this very important injury update? We'll do that next. Injury news for you before Super Wild Card Weekend. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We saw he went down against the Browns, Pearl, but we weren't sure until yesterday. Zay Flowers, talented second-year wide receiver for the Ravens, is going to be out against the Steelers in this division matchup here in the first round. And this is massive because Zay Flowers, first ever wide receiver from the Baltimore Ravens franchise to ever make the Pro Bowl. I mean, you cannot understate what he means to the offense. And I think he was looking for a little redemption of how badly he played in the AFC Championship game with some key mistakes. I think he's had to have been chomping at the bit to get back into the playoffs to show that he, you know, can be like a primetime player or whatever. And now he's going to be out with a knee injury. This is a devastating hit for the Ravens.
I wouldn't say devastating. Devastating makes it sound like they're in major, major trouble. The way the Steelers are playing offensively, like, you shouldn't need Zay Flowers to win. So I think devastating is too strong a word. But I got to tell you, it does make you think, oh, is Mike Tomlin going to do that Mike Tomlin to Lamar Jackson thing? Because with one less weapon, the Steelers have this superpower of containing mobile quarterbacks. Now, if Lamar is not as big a threat to throw the ball, because Zay's not out there, then it's a major problem. Now, obviously, we were going to do bets later. I'm like thinking, well, you got Mark Andrews, and Mark Andrews has come on big time lately. So go back to old school Lamar, just throw it to Mark Andrews and ignore your receivers.
Well, but they've tried that before, and they haven't gotten to where they want to go. But it's funny, it didn't make me think about Mark Andrews. It made me think just more about Derrick Henry. You know, but here's the thing. So you have Derrick Henry, which is the weapon you've not had so far in these playoff runs. But let's just paint this scenario. I know it's a little tough to imagine because the Steelers' offense has not been very good. But let's say they get out to a two-touchdown lead. Say sack fumble. Something happens. I don't know. Say somehow the Steelers get out to a lead, and then Derrick Henry, you can't go. It's not that you can't go to him at all, but it changes things, obviously. The equation of how much you can use Henry if you're down two scores as opposed to up two scores.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if we're going to talk about the Steelers' offense getting out to a touchdown lead, there's also the chance that Bane will invade the stadium like they did with the Steelers stadium. What are you talking about? How are the Steelers with, I know George Pickens is on the field, but he's mentally out of this thing. I just don't, that's the issue. That's why I feel like me and a lot of people are not worried about the Zay Flowers injury because they're not worried about Pittsburgh's offense.
Yeah, but okay, you got a team super familiar with all that institutional knowledge, yeah. All the success that Tomlin's had, and Tomlin as an underdog, you know, all these things that line up. Listen, there's two ways to talk about this. There's a way to talk about it from the actual football perspective and can the Steelers actually pull this upset? Then there's a betting perspective. You know, with this spread going up to 10 points in some places, 9.5, 10, now with the Zay Flowers injury, I mean, well, they're begging you to take the points.
I mean, Mike Tomlin has shut down the Ravens with or without Zay Flowers. I think the recent game, like the Steelers are really reeling. Generally, though, in the first game, I'll pull up the game log. I'm almost sure that Zay Flowers didn't do anything. He had 6 catches for 39 yards. Tomlin just shuts down the whole operation.
Yep.
He's done it many, many times to Lamar Jackson. So I think that's like your bigger issue. To me, it's not a Zay Flowers issue. It's Lamar. Lamar not really feeling comfortable against a really on-point Mike Tomlin defense.
Yeah, but you have to wonder, like, you know, is Lamar, did he get a lot more comfortable in this offense? I'm looking at Todd Monken, their offensive coordinator, is getting head coaching job.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, they've been unbelievable. Yeah, but again, he's been unbelievable for 15 out of 17 games a year, except for 2 games against the Steelers.
Do you have any upsets this weekend? Or are you going chalk the whole way?
Oh, geez. I haven't decided. I'm very, very chalky. I have to admit. Are you talking about against the spreads or to win the game?
I'm talking straight up money lines, you know, to win the game.
I'll tell you right now, I like the Chargers to beat the Texans. I definitely like the Ravens to win. I don't give the Broncos any chance just to make you nervous. I feel like I'm jinxing
Thanks.
You. I am a little worried about the Eagles, but I think that at home they have a big advantage. I really, really like the Bucs over the Commanders. I feel like the Commanders, unlike Nick, are a bit of a fraud. And who's the favorite? The Vikings are the favorite. I like the Rams over the Vikings. So I guess that's my upset, but it's...
Yeah, it went from 1.5 points to 2.5 points because they moved
it. The move is not great. That's just sort of like, I almost feel like you have to stop and reevaluate that game. Do you have any upsets?
The move to Glendale, moving the game on Monday because of the fires.
I mean, just the lack of routine for the Rams has to be a thing.
That and the mental aspect of it, right?
I mean, how
do you focus when this devastating thing is going on? It's hard for us to focus, and we're 3,000 miles away because it's been so bad. A couple. I think Houston. I think everyone is really sleeping on Houston. Their offense is terrible.
Wait, are you selling them or buying?
Well, I mean, this is my thought process.
I really like this team. They can't throw the ball or run the ball, I think they're dangerous.
But here's the thing. Like, you know, the Chargers against good quarterbacks and against playoff teams.
Yeah, but C.J. Stroud is under so much pressure. He's not a good quarterback right now.
He's not playing like a good quarterback. Yeah,
well, and it's not even his fault, but...
And then the Washington Commanders maybe to pull an upset over the Bucs. I was not impressed with the Bucs last week. And the whole Mike Evans thing and tying Jerry Rice, that got all the attention. They almost lost that game.
To a tuned out
Saints team, and they were home. The Bucs were home.
The Commanders just lost. Oh, they did. They won that game against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys were barely even trying.
They went to their backup. They went to Mariota in the halftime.
Yes, and he saved their butt. He played the best game of his entire career. And by the way, they were about to get destroyed by the Eagles until Kenny Pickett came into that game. The Commanders are not hot right now either.
855-212-4227. Ramon's in Indianapolis. Always has a good thought on football. What's up, Ramon?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning? You all on the razor's edge. Perloff, I'm with you. I don't understand what this. It's like Michael Jordan in Detroit when you talk about Baltimore and Pittsburgh. It's like no one's commenting on what happened in that last game. The key was unlocked. It's like when Jordan finally unlocked against Detroit, there was nothing else to be had. And so they unlocked that key the last game. It was not even a competition. It wasn't even a close game. No one has mentioned. It's like they're going on the previous games, but no one forgot that last game. And I thought that's where the tie turned. And so once you unlock a key in sports and you overcome that hump, that confidence comes there. I don't see anything. And then I don't hear any criticism of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has averaged 14 points a game the last six games. We're going to compare Russell Wilson to Lamar Jackson. If it comes down to quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Who are you going to take?
We didn't leave you a lot of time here, but you know what?
Okay, no problem. I appreciate that, but come on, let's give Baltimore a little more credit now. Thank you.
I love that that Michael Jordan line. Like it did seem like he got over the hump against the Steelers, his nemesis.
I mean, last year we were talking about the Ravens as the number one seed. Yeah. Lamar looked great.
But they couldn't beat Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh didn't even have a quarterback.
Yeah, but they beat the Texans, and then what happened? I don't know. It's hard to read this Ravens team. Come on back. We're talking Notre Dame.